Blog Talk Radio. Since we've been doing Let's Chat Live, I'm going to have to put him on the live, girl. I'm going to have to put him on the live.
Absolutely. You know, he's one of our all-time favorites, friend to the show. Love when he gives us a few minutes of his valuable time.
Yes, honey, yes. We appreciate you guys coming to kick it with us tonight on Let's Chat. If y'all missed our interview on yesterday, we had Let's Chat Live. No worries. Just head over to our YouTube page. Y'all have headed to our YouTube page, right? T, tell them what to do when they get to YouTube. Tell them what to do when they get to YouTube, T.
When you get to YouTube, I think it's YouTube. One of those nights. Head on over to our YouTube channel, search for Let's Chat with Miss Tony and Leisha. And when you get to that page, just hit that subscribe button. And there's going to be a little red button, a little red bell. You hit that, click always. And that way you'll be notified when a new episode of Let's Chat has been downloaded and uploaded. So make sure you guys follow us on all of our social media.
Absolutely, absolutely. Oh my God, y'all, it has been a day. So our topic today is the show me state, right? So First I want to tell y'all about the strange thing, right? So yesterday, I work from home, and yesterday, out of the blue, the landline stopped working. Like, literally. I went on break. I came back. It was no phone, no nothing. The phone was dead. So I was like, well, is it the little, because you know you lose the little pod when you work from home. So I said, well, maybe the pod burned out because it was a storm. And sometimes that happens. So I plug it in to the fax. And the fax machine don't work. So, you know, I call AT&T and they like, well, on our end, ma'am, we don't see that there's a problem. So, you know, now I'm irritated. I'm like,
y'all know how she gets.
I don't have no phone. And you try to tell me you don't see a problem. I'm going to need you to get somebody out here, sweet cheeks. So let me get this handled, right? So I didn't have a phone to end my shift on yesterday. And I didn't work my shift today. And then lo and behold, at like 5 o'clock, what happens? The phone pops on. Literally, the phone comes on. And I'm like, It was crazy. So I was like, sometimes, you know, I always tell people that if you don't sit down or make time to sit down, God will sit you down or he'll make you make time. And so,
That's right. You
know, it was some things that I just ended up doing. I didn't look at it as a negative thing. I think that everything happens for a reason. And if you always look at the negative of something when it happens, you'll never see the blessing in it, right? So that was my little story time. But I got another one, too. This is more towards our topic, because the topic is the show me state. So me and Maria, we go to get something to eat, right? And the lady, when she gave me the cup, it had the drink spilled all on the cup. And she handed it to me like, here. And I said, you know, can you wipe that off? She got an attitude. She handed me a new cup. But I say that to say this. You know, when you're from the show me state, you require people to show you and treat you a specific way. If you don't, they're not going to do it. But if you let people know, I'm not going to accept that, you're either going to do it right or don't do it at all, they will rise to the occasion if they really want to be in your space. She really wanted me to buy that food, so she took care of it. But when it comes to people in your life, a lot of times, you know, if they're indecisive, it's okay. But if you're not indecisive about yourself, don't let nobody else be indecisive about you. You walk in your power, and you keep doing what you're doing, but you don't accept anything. You set the standard. You see what I'm saying? You set the standard of what and how people are going to treat you and how you're going to deal. And if they can't, then you don't deal with them. I think a lot of times in society, it makes, you know, women... And don't send me no inboxes, y'all, because I am about to say this. some women tend to lead with their body and their looks. And then they wonder why. And then they wonder why that's all he wants. Some men lead with their wallet and their looks. And then they wonder why that's all she wants. You lead them with the wrong thing. This is what you are representing. So I thought about security. When you think about, you know, getting married and being in a relationship, you always think about security. And it's nothing wrong with securing yourself. That's what you actually need to do, because you shouldn't depend on security from an outside source. However, right. Ladies, when we are picking these men, can we please put them in a category? Because every man that leaves with his wallet showing that I can secure you cannot grow you. So if there's no growth in what they're offering, you're kind of on the dead end street. You understand what I'm saying, T?
Absolutely. And sometimes everything that looks like it may be what it is isn't necessarily what it is. You know, he could be slashing a whole wad of bills, but underneath that big face on the top can be some singles.
You see what I'm saying? He got a $100 bill on top and nothing but ones on the bottom. Come on now. But that's true, but we get wrapped up into that because I think I posted a man that invests in you, no questions asked. But he got to invest in growing you. Like somebody can really, really see you. Like they can see like your potential and say, you know, I'm planting this seed because I see where you want. And to me, that's somebody that wants to grow you. If you have people that always want to pick your brain, but then when you pick their brain, there's nothing in there, it's no growth there. They're not growing you. It should be give and take. You see what I'm saying? I don't think a lot of times we don't think about that.
I don't think so either, because especially in today's society, everything is like quick, fast, and in a hurry. You know, this microwave society that sometimes you don't even really get to know yourself before you jump into a relationship with someone else. You know, so how can you, what are you bringing to the table besides your, like you said at the top of this, your looks and your body? You know, what else do you have underneath all of that?
Exactly. And sometimes you got the looks and you got the body, but you realize there's nothing else there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But now you're vested in something that you know is not really going anywhere, but there's nothing there. Like, I understand that people, all people can be broken, because brokenness, we have already talked about this on the show, brokenness draws people in. That's it, an attraction. That's a form of an attraction. You could be literally attracted to your relatable brokenness. You can be attracted to that part of that person. But when you heal or the other person heals, that brokenness is no longer attractive.
And also, you know, Leash, you know, speaking of looks and body and what you bring into the table, sometimes you can think something is the way it is until, and this can go either way, man or woman, until they open their mouths and you hear what comes out of it and you do like a, you know, one of those. Like, did I just hear what I hear or what I didn't think I was expecting to hear? So everything is not golden just because it shines brightly. Oh, I like what I just made up.
That was a good one. That was a good one. Write that down. We're going to need that for something. But, you know, a lot of times, and I think, shout out to Keisha Green. She actually posted this like a week or so ago. And I said that, you know, it's a turnoff when they're dumber than a Brinks. And so this guy was like, did you mean bricks? And I said, no, Brinks. You know, the Brinks truck, because with a Brinks truck, it looks like it's built to last, right? But you got to always fill it up for it to be worth something. And I got to always fill it up for it to be worth something, for it to have weight, for it to have purpose. I see something wrong with that scenario.
And who's filling me up, you know? We should be filling each other up.
Absolutely. So I just think that, you know, we have to kind of, like, think about stuff like that. I think a little bit better when we're moving around and interacting with people. And there's nothing wrong with interacting with people, places and things. Those are all great things. But we really, really got to think, you know, if somebody, and I posted this on my page, it was actually a video that I got off of TikTok. And it was like, are you an asset? So when you ask somebody else, are you an asset, are you a liability? Once you ask those questions of them, you have to ask those questions of yourself. Am I an asset or am I a liability? Like, people can invest in you, but if they invest in you and that's all they're leading with and there's nothing else, then where's the growth? I think that whenever you're with anybody, whether it's a business, friends, whatever, they have to grow you. You have to have some growth in that.
Pretty powerful what you just said. You know, am I asset or liability? You know, and I don't think enough of us ask that question, not only of others, but of ourselves, you know?
Yeah, we don't ask it of ourselves because it's like you think about what you want. Well, he got to be, you know, consistent. Well, if you want him to be consistent, then you got to be consistent. Why? Because you draw in yourself. You attract who you are at the core. So if you're not consistent, that's what you're drawing in. I think we're going to do a whole little show about that. I'm just still thinking, trying to put this together. I think we're going to do a show about that and making sure that, you know, what we ask for is what we are providing. Like, mm-hmm. If you say you are asset, then you have to, you know, when they open up, when you open up a portfolio for a stock, you know if it's an asset or not.
Right.
So
and,
I
you know, when
that,
we do those shows, mm-hmm. when we do those type of shows, Leech, I love when we have both male and female on because we get mm-hmm. an inside view of what each one thinks and how each one thinks, you know. And it's always interesting because we may think of it one way, but a man may not necessarily see it the way we see it. And he's
uh-huh.
not supposed to. And just like we're not supposed to see what they see. But it's always interesting to hear both sides and both views of a particular situation, especially something like that.
Absolutely. Well, I'm excited to see what our guests are talking about on today. Open us on up, T, so we can get it cracking. We always get started, y'all.
I know, absolutely. Well, once again, thank you for joining us this Friday evening on Let's Chat. My name is Miss Tony, joined by one and only Miss Lady in the Dark, but always in the light, Miss Leisha. You see how I always go there, Leisha? I always got to just help that girl. But we started our show about 8-9 years ago, maybe even 10 at this point. You know, Leisha and I started off just celebrating literature because we are avid readers. We love the word. But our show has evolved into so much more. Now we celebrate the dopeness of all the arts, no matter what it may be. It could be music. Boy, we have some awesome musical guests. Literature, athletes, politicians, anything that's going on in our society, you can believe it. We've had a guest or two on our show. So make sure,
mm-hmm.
speaking of that, make sure you guys head over to our archives because our archives are so, so rich in jewels that have been dropped by all of our amazing guests. But right now we are having a Friday night like no other because every night here on Let's Chat is an experience. So we hope you guys are ready. Get tuned in for another fabulous show with the ladies of Let's Chat. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. So we're going to take a brief break. We got some new music that we would love to play for y'all. We'll be right back.
Listen up, I'm finna put you on some cocaine. Bitch, you on the right track, but the wrong train. Pippin ain't dead, that's the code name. And my rim so big, I'm a ghost lane. Before she met me, she ain't no shit. Now she OT, making dope quick. 215, he tell her it's a road trip. She don't give me no lip, she know I'm a ghost. But the way you suck dick, I can tell you was made for this. You do this so good that you should get paid for this. One thing's for sure, you gon' walk down this road and go get what you can, then you run me my show. I be thumbing through the text, last year I was in debt. And now my little bitch charge $1,000 for the neck. Heard the man high, I need deposit for the sex. She be breaking niggas' pockets for a check. Ayy.
Shit on it over, she gon' drop shit. I told her head first like a front flip. She gon' go to work, I'ma benefit. Nigga, I done hit a lick. I'ma take your girl to the
coast. Across the country, coast to coast.
She might go stop, nigga.
Girl, choose up, she you know how we gon' do it.
Nigga Nation.
Yo, Nip Hustle, talk that shit.
All I know is double up. Bitches come and go and this money come and lost. Rather fall in love or you rather fall in lust? Rather make $100 million for the rush. Lord knows I was stuck. Step back off the cuff. Rob niggas, sold drugs, pimp bitches, so what? Every morning on a mission, nigga tryna go touch. Slim told me Nip Hustle make these hoes go fuck. Then I kept my foot up on her neck like a Cuban link. Money, power, and respect, just like you a thing. Thanking niggas for they checks, baby you a beast. I don't flex, I collect, that's my expertise. Now, I'm a cold young nigga, all my old premonitions way below how I'm living now. Now, round the globe, I kill it, I just go get digits, that's the code, real nigga now. Shit on it over, she gon' drop shit. I told her head first like a front flip. She gon' go to work, I'ma benefit. Nigga, I done hit a lick, I'ma take your girl, take it to the state.
Coast to coast, across the country.
If your girl choose up, she gon' stay.
Yeah, we gon' get paid. Talk to him, RJ.
Nigga need to know. I'm just trying to catch the wave on a speedboat.
Hey.
Niggas trying to find business on the interstate. Fuck a renegade. I'ma make the pussy real estate.
Ooh.
Get your mind right and get you qualified.
Hey.
I'm just living my life. I don't apologize.
No.
You know them I'm in your boys. Bought a dollar sign. Money modified. Every moral that you idolize.
Hey.
And we can go Melrose to Linux.
Hey.
Or tearing down Fifth Ave.
Hey.
Ubers and Lyft cabs. Get back from mistresses. Sagging on bitches. Since your girl was interested. My words are frivolous. In God we trust.
Hey.
All these improv of lust. Take your bitch out and fuck. Take my rent out of purse.
Oh,
and then I woo side boas.
Hey.
Break your bottom bitch for insurance. From flat shows to floor.
Shit
on it over. She gon' drop shit.
Yeah.
I told her head bird like a front flip.
Oh, yeah.
She gon' go to work. I'ma benefit.
Hey.
Nigga, I done hit a lick. I'ma take your girl.
Los Angeles, California.
If your girl choose up,
Atlanta,
she
Georgia,
stay.
Houston, Texas,
oh,
Miami,
girl,
Florida, New York City, New York, Seattle, Washington, Washington, D.C. What up, North Carolina, South Carolina? What's up, Bay Area? What's up, New Orleans, Louisiana? What's up, everybody? You know we can keep going and going. Coast to coast. State to state.
One just told me, one just told me.
Oh, hey.
Major pain, so ugly now. We can't be friends. Hit me
wanna make it easy for your hard day. Gotta learn to feel again, we gon' do it our way. Put myself all over you, wrap you up in star K. Want more, you ain't gotta come for, it's already done for. Even drop an encore, you've been on a hunt for somebody to make you feel differently. 2020 vision is a different me, yeah, yeah.
Me see your fear, see me up with your way.
Okay. can't let your way.
Oh, you my money, yo.
Baby,
yo, I be watching it, oh, baby, my money, yo. I'm here for you.
Talking about she can do better than me. I tell that bitch, honey, your bitch.
business then. What? I'm a business and a business man. I'm the reason why you say your baby daddy got a brand new dental plan. How to not die the middle man. Mud money, what I represent. Cause we got it out the mud, nigga. 10, 17 mile with us. Face shaking, I don't fuck with you. 30 days I was quarantined in a trap setting up plays, nigga. Glizzy louder than some barber clippers. I ain't gonna shoot the fade with you. Fujiana got smoke, I'ma make a call, send a couple grade diggers. He got WAP on the line telling me to chill, but they shouldn't have played with us. I'm gone. 30 days straight, I've been trapping. I've been trapping.
Women every day, he got a big pistol, wig splitter. Put the nigga on the net, said he a real killer. Seen his ass in person, nigga did the real thriller. Pussy nigga, I been riding around there, well by myself serving with a Drake. 10-17 ice on me, try to take a shoot you in the face. Yeah, get him gone, bags in, bags out, chop. Really hit my phone, say gotta cut your boy, I need to come tag. Yeah, I hit the road, AMG S550, hit the gas. Pull up, so that nigga grab, yeah, hit the gas. Pussy nigga on the boss, ho. One call, I call Creed, he gon' come through and knock a nigga off. Jill told me don't do it, but I gotta get to a nigga raw, ho. All the mud moving slow, yeah, real slow, nigga, like a slow bitch. Pussy nigga try to diss me, can't diss me, but it's off, bro. Watch said don't play with nobody, fool, you better kill them all, ho.
30 days straight, I've been trapping.
Running up the check, running up the check, yeah, yeah. Stepping on they neck, stepping on they neck, yeah, yeah. Haters popping off, I don't feel a threat, yeah, yeah. Better come correct, gotta get respect. I was born for this, I will go to war for this. I throw every feeling possible right out the door for this. I'm a savage, 21 savage, Kaepernick, no Afro pick. Thinking over, no apologies, I'm killing all this shit.
I told you I'm a savage, but you wouldn't listen. Uh-huh. I came to take over the whole game, that's my mission. Karis Jordan, motherfucker, now pay attention. Now that I got your attention, let me complete my sentence. Born in the slums, I hustle for crumbs, I saw for days. Now it's time to get paid, dug into my last day. Right. Streets made me a menace, mama didn't raise no fool. Bottom line, your course was mine, homie, I eat your food. I ain't with that mumble shit, the only thing that mumbles great is when I put that muzzle on that bitch and I freeze that shit. Yeah, I'm in. Same nigga, crazy and I'm cool. Split personality, I don't know who's who. Screws loose, so watch what you say to me. I will snap out, I'm a New York Jersey nigga. But now I wanna run the block. It's not where you from, that's nigga right. It's where the fuck you at. So I switch that NY and flip it to a Braves cat.
Running up the check, running up the check, yeah, yeah. Stepping on they neck, stepping on they neck, yeah, yeah. Haters popping off, I don't feel a threat, yeah, yeah. Better come correct, gotta get respect.
I was born for this, I will go to war for this. If you standing in my way, you gon' be on the floor for this. I'm a savage, 21 savage, a grenade without a pen. Taking over, no apologies, I'm killing all this shit. First off, you don't know who you fucking with. That nigga KJ here bust quick. Better watch what you say when you run your lips. He's crazy in the range, you don't give a shit. Pop pills, that boy is so ill. Disrespecting, you get killed. Spitting like the Viper, the DC sniper to the bitches, I wear sleep hype, yeah. You don't want it with the kid from Jersey. Better pray to the Lord for some mercy. Cause when I come with fire. Stop putting on your rap shoe lighter. You ain't never do a bit, you a bitch, nigga. You be lying in your rap, you ain't rich, nigga. You don't want no war with the kid, nigga. I run up in your motherfucking crib, nigga. I kill you, and leave no witnesses. And write a book about it, like O.J. Simpson did. I'm a savage, nigga. I am out of my mind. I'll hunt you down if you got diamonds that shine. I'm on my my grind, nigga. So don't you waste my time. And if you disrespect the king, you know you cross the line. I see you haters, nigga. I hear you haters talking. You gonna end up 6 feet deep in the fucking coffin. I'm about my paper, I'm about my thriller, I'm counting figures. I seen a cross in your eyes, that's why you switch, nigga. Oh, you a bitch, nigga. I'm counting chips, nigga. You keep on chasing ass, I'm getting rich, nigga.
Running up the check, running up the check, yeah, yeah. Stepping on they neck, stepping on they neck, yeah, yeah. Haters popping off, I don't feel a threat, yeah, yeah. Better come correct, gotta get respect. I was born for this, I will go to war for this. I throw every feeling possible right out the door for this. I'm a savage, 21 savage, Captain Nick, no Afro pick. Thinking over, no apologies, I'm killing all this here. Hey!
Where you was going, I had to play my hand. They play for the keeps, it's hard as defeat, but in fact I won. Life is a bitch, death is a sis, no shit. Everyone dies in our arms. That's why I got my dust lined up on the fence, cause it has to make sense when it's time to perform.
even when the signs of a storm. Do it for your kids, do it for your mom. Too much of a tough guy, why you crying in the dark? Nigga, find it in your heart.
Time to be smart.
I want what's rightfully mine. So what, I like to be high. I still look nice in a tie. You know I live for the vibe, but we all just live in a die.
Only thing ever came to a dreamin' was some sleep. Right now, what you die for? Fuck them niggas, my nigga, know you ride with your heat. Right now, you would die for it. What's your foundation of a family, man? You gotta stand for something. Die for it. Nigga, I already know you would die for it. Nigga, I already know. Nigga, I already know you would die for it.
I just came in the game. Brought some niggas in the household name to the game. Pay attention to this MAD swinging on my chain. I'd kill and die for them cause I know they do the same. But with her, she gon' do a whole lot of faking. I'm with hippin' me spinning, but don't condone on how I make it. I got trust issues, ain't got nothing to do with you. How many people actually look like what they been through? I been sitting in the shack having visions on the yacht. Women running around with no bottles, no top. Gave with me, trouble Dre and Wild. Get out of sight, relief, I'm glad we made it off the block. Shit, I put my niggas on, they niggas with they niggas on. They niggas put they niggas on. You see what this is going, nigga. Yeah, and the process is going, nigga. Yeah, and you already know, nigga.
Only thing ever came to a dreamin' was some sleep. Right now, would you die for it? But you, fuck them niggas, my nigga. Know you ride with your heat. Right now, you would die for it. You would die for it. You know and I know it. Die for it. Anybody gotta go, you'll die for it. You'll die for nigga, it. I already know. I can see through the windows of your soul. You'll die for it. You'll die for it. You'll die for it. Die for it. Die
for it. Grip ball.
You're talking to a dun. Little boy, you a son. I'm the one, greatness in motion, you are just a pawn. Why you high when it's on? Tears of a gangster, heart of stone. Revenge is automatic, spin your block like an atlas. Ill shit, we back at it. Sharks flying through, causing havoc. We come from two totally different fabrics. Strong dope, flex on my wall shine. Chrome spoke, you were at the table with the wrong folks. Tell me what you on, bro, cause we ain't gone that long, bro. Forgive me for my sins, I admit. But every one of them bitches I met. Repent while I'm on drugs, straight blitz. No shit, grit life, that's something I meant.
Only thing ever came to a dreamer was some sleep. Right now, would you die for it?
Now, would you die for it? Now, would you die for it? Now, would you die for it? Now, would you die for it? Now, would you die for it?
We are back. We are back. Welcome to Let's Chat. I'm Miss Leisha. You know, I got my right hand, and most of the time, she is my left. The fabulous Miss Tony. Hey, T.
Hey, Leisha girl. You know something, Leisha? I'm listening to our music. We have such a diverse music selection.
Like, I'm like, pretty soon, that's all we're going to be. We're going to be able to play music for 2 hours.
Oh, I was thinking the same thing. It all sounded so good and so different, but it all worked together, you know?
Absolutely. And that's what DJ Hardhead was talking about yesterday, how music sets the tone. Yes. If y'all missed our Let's Chat Live, no worries. Head over to our YouTube page. Tell them how to get there.
Absolutely. You head on over to YouTube.com, look up Let's Chat with Miss Tony and Leisha. You hit that subscribe button while you're there. Hit that bell so you guys can be notified every time a new session of Let's Chat is uploaded. So head on over there and join our YouTube world.
Absolutely. And we so appreciate him calling in and giving us his time, space, and energy. We got some of his new music from his King of the Vibe album that is out. And so I'm excited. We did play State to State. That's the song that, rest in peace, he has Nipsey Hussle on. Make sure y'all go out and hit that up on iTunes. Make sure y'all get your one click popping. We have our first fabulous guest. Now, this is a little different than what we've had for the last couple of weeks because, you know, we are readers at heart. And I always say book clubs are the heartbeat of the industry. And we have these fabulous ladies that are going to come in here. We're going to talk about books, y'all.
All right, we love that talk.
Hey, ladies. Hello. Are you on mute? Hi, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing tonight?
So joining us this Friday evening.
Well, thank you for having us. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. So these are the fabulous ladies of Authors Babble. Tell everybody about your platform and a little bit about yourself.
Okay, well, my name is Tony, and Tony Duncan, and the other person is Sharon. I don't know if she's on there, co-founder. And we founded On Another Level Book Club in 2005, and from the book club, we launched the Authors Babble. And we did that because we have such a heart for authors, because we're a book club, and we're always, our members are always finding these great authors that people just really haven't heard of. And so we thought, you know, why don't we create a forum, a platform that authors can come and get more exposure to, and we can get just people to get more familiar with authors other than the mainstream authors. And so that's how we created the Authors Babble. And so we're in our season two. We're in season two of the Authors Bible. We actually started it during the pandemic. And so it went really well, and we are booked with artists all the way through August.
Go, girl! I know that's right.
So we
always talk about a go moment here on Let's Chat, and the go moment is when thought and execution come together. A lot of times we're really mindful about how we speak to other people, how we pour into them, even right down to how we tell them how they should speak into themselves. But when it comes to our own personal movement, it's kind of slow motion. We tend to tell ourselves we can't do something right now. So what was your goal moment like when you guys decided to come together and then move into doing Authors Babble?
So for us, having had the book club since 2005, so we were right at 15 years with the book club, and we have grown the book club, you know, into more of a social organization as well as a group of people who love reading. And so we kept thinking, what's the next step for us? What can we do? And we have been talking about it, planning, and just running ideas together. And then when the pandemic hit, that was the go moment, because we had a captured audience because people were at home. So we were like, we can build on this momentum. People at home, they have really nothing else to do, really, because we're stuck in the house. So why don't we capitalize on that? And for us, that was the go moment. It was like perfect opportunity. And that gave us a whole year to solidify our audience and just grow from there. And we did that, and we captured. We didn't let it rest. We just did it.
Wow. Tony, this is Tony. Oh, I love this. It's going to be one kind of night. Well, I want to say, like Lee said, you know, we are avid readers. We love the word. Did you even ever picture yourself as a reader where you are today? Because like Lee said, you know, book clubs are vital to the literary world. Did you ever even think that you would be in a place like this?
Honestly, no, not stemming from a book, not stemming from just being a reader, a person who loved to read, and then forming a book club, because we really formed the book club just out of our love for reading. And so we were like, we're just going to get some people together, you know, no big deal, right? All of a sudden, we got all these people who share the same desire, they love to read. Then next thing you know, okay, we have such a dedicated group of people. We were like, okay, let's start adding social aspects to it. And then it was like, we started having authors come to our book club meetings. And then it was like, okay, there's potential for more. And so we just keep building. It's like, as opportunity knocks, we just keep building upon that. And the great thing about it, it's easy, because it's like the door opens for us and we just walk in, basically.
I know that's right. Awesome. I know that's right. Now it's, how many people are in the book club?
So we have a roster of 20 people, active members in our book club.
Oh, goodness.
And are they all central located? Are they all different places?
So all of our book club members are located, because we're in Dallas, Texas. So all of our members are actually located in Dallas, Texas. We do have some members who have moved to other locations, and we've been trying to kick off like a satellite book club, but we just haven't got that momentum yet. And so we're not going to force it. We're going to wait until it's actually ready, and then we'll kick off like satellite locations.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. You know, you kind of started off like Lisa and I started our platform, you know, because we are avid readers and we wanted to provide a platform for authors new and experienced alike, but especially the new authors, because like you said, they don't have that platform, that voice, that notoriety. Mm-hmm. And when they can land in a safe place, just to get their feet wet, just to get that exposure is priceless.
Exactly. And that's the feedback that we get from many of the artists that are on our show, is that they don't, like you said, they don't have the notoriety, nor do they have the finances to advertise like a lot of established writers. So just being able to do an interview and to be able to put their name out there, because not only do we do the interview, but then we do all the social media promotion behind that as well. And then once we're finished with the interview, we upload their interview to our website as well as our YouTube channel, and keep publishing on our Facebook page so that it's continuously getting views. So we try to continuously promote the authors once we have them on our show. And then we end up in May of last year, we had our first Authors Forum, where we brought back some of the artists that we had interviewed and brought them all together and created a forum where we opened it up for readers and other authors. And for our first show, we had like 100 attendees. For our first forum, we had 100 attendees that registered through Eventbrite and attended, and the authors were generous enough to participate in giveaways. So some of the attendees got books and different promotional items from the authors. And so it really has just blossomed into this thing. Like, I have people now calling me like, are you taking authors for the forum? And I'm just like, yeah, we're working on it right now. We're trying to get everything, trying to get our theme together for this year, and we'll be sending out stuff. But it's just like authors are hungry for platforms to be on, reputable platforms, so that they can get their material out there, so they can have their voices heard. And I think what you guys are doing and what we're doing is exactly what authors are wanting.
Absolutely. Now, your forum. Now, you guys are in Texas. So Texas is open.
Yes.
It is officially open. So how is it down there for you guys? Listen, that's what the man said. Listen, y'all man said that y'all was open.
Yeah. That's another segment. But yes, Texas is open. Texas is open, wide open. Did I say wide open?
Ooh,
but you know, but I think Texas is probably split on that decision, because we've got, like, I'm out right now, and people are still wearing their masks, and a lot of the stores and places are still requiring that you wear your mask. Governor Abbott did leave it up to the individual businesses, and a lot of businesses are sticking with that, because you got to think about it, they still have to protect their employees as well, you know. And if everybody's not vaccinated, if everybody is going to get vaccinated, you know, we're not there yet. So it put everybody in a little bit of a quagmire, but I think for the most part, people are doing what they're comfortable with, and restaurants and businesses are still following the mask mandate. So that helps a whole lot. For me, I'm still wearing my mask.
I don't see me taking it off no time soon.
Yeah, it's way too early. But we all know, from a political standpoint, from a financial standpoint, he's looking at money. He did it right before spring break, so it was strategic. This is my personal opinion, but I would bet some money on it. Spring break was the following week, so he wanted to open it up so that Texas could make that spring break money. It was strategic. And, like, if people die, he doesn't care. So, you know, Texas just went through this bad storm where we couldn't even keep our lights on. So, you know, they don't care about people's lives here. So, nonetheless, we've survived.
And the cold.
And the cold, exactly. So, you know, you just have to, I think, I just pray that people just use their common sense, you know.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, that's all we can
pray. Exactly. Follow the science.
Absolutely. Now, as readers, and you're a book club, what are some new, who are some of the new authors that are on your radar?
Oh, my gosh. So we have read the last book the book that we're reading this month is by Lisa Jewell. It's called And Then She Was Gone. Oh my gosh. All I'm going to tell you guys, if you have not read this book, to read it, because these people are out of control. It is a suspense thriller book.
Uh-huh.
And it's one of those books, it doesn't start out slow. It starts out really getting into the meat of the book, and it doesn't slow down. And it's about this girl, this teenage girl. She has this she's kind of a brat. She is a brat. She's kind of spoiled, but she's her mother's favorite. She comes up missing. She just vanishes one day. But what happens to her, I promise you, it could be a great Lifetime movie, though. What happens to her could be a great Lifetime movie. And I don't know, do you guys remember a book called The Room? They turned it into a movie. I can't think of the author. It has some of those tendencies in it. It's crazy. It's really good. Then last month we read this book called The Chain by Adrienne McKenty. Now that book, it will have you off of social media.
Oh boy!
It will have you never wanting to post anything again.
Really?
Who is it by? Adrienne who?
Adrienne McKenty. McKinty. That book will have you not ever wanting to post your location or anything on social media. That, I mean, like, you talking about going into your phone and changing your settings and locking down everything, that phone will have you doing it. I mean, that book will have you doing it. Yes.
I'm going to have to look that one up. I just looked up the Lisa Jewell, and we love a good suspense here.
Oh, we love a good suspense. Like, I don't know, have you guys read author T. Style, Silence of the Nine?
Oh, my goodness.
Listen. Listen. Now, T. Styles is known, she got a twisted pen. So she got a twisted level. So I kind of got to gauge, because sometimes it just be too twisted for me. But Silence of the Nine, listen. Honey, let me tell you.
Silence of the Nine. Okay.
Y'all got it. The best thing about T. Styles is she's kind of like you riding down 75. You know, when you're on the highway, it takes you somewhere, and each exit is something. You know, you got something that exit, and that's how her pen is. She got a universal pen, honey. She will drop you off in the Congo, pick you up, drop you off on the corner where they're hustling, pick you up from the corner, drop you off in the boardroom on Wall Street, and then turn around and drop you off overseas somewhere in Dubai. Let me tell you.
Okay. I just bought that. Silence of the Nine. Okay.
Silence of the Nine. Listen, I want to hear your opinion. I love that. That is my favorite book. Now, she's a fabulous author. She's written many favorite books, but I love that series.
Okay.
Tony, let me tell you, Lisa was talking about this book for years, Tony, and I
really
and read it. Child, I went back and picked up everything Miss T. Styles wrote. I was like, what took me so long? Because Lisa talked about that book ad nauseum, and it is everything and more that she just said.
Okay. And see, I've never even heard of her.
Really?
I have not heard of her. Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Lisa introduced me to her. I'm
fabulous
so glad
pen.
She did.
Yes, fabulous pen. And that's the best part about being a reader, you know, because you never, reading is kind of like, I always say this, going to the ice cream parlor. You know, when you go into Baskin and Robbins,
so
you get the little pink, you get the little pink spoon, you like, what's that one taste like? Okay, what's that one taste like? Okay, what's that one over there? You don't know. When it comes to reading books, you don't know what you like until you taste it. And sometimes it takes somebody else to taste it first for them to be like, girl, let me tell you what happened. And then it's like, what?
Exactly.
Now everybody wants to taste it.
You're absolutely right. And
so
that's,
true.
I mean, a lot of authors that I've come across is because someone else refers them to me. So absolutely, I agree with that. Mm-hmm. Have you guys read any of Britt, what's her name, Britt, the one that had the Vanishing Half?
The Vanishing Half. Okay.
Britt Bennett. She was
Britt
last
Bennett?
Year during the pandemic. Her her book became
Britt
really
Bennett.
Popular, The Vanishing Half.
I'm writing all these down.
Okay, and then she has another one called The Mothers. Both of those books are excellent. And she, I think Brit, her The Vanishing Half, she's an African-American author. The Vanishing Half actually got New York's bestseller or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, The Vanishing Half, it was excellent. It's about two sisters who grew up in a town where there was no white people.
Mm-hmm.
And but one of them looked white, or both of them could pass for white.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no, it was all black people. It's a little town that was created by these black people, but no white people live in this
wow.
town. And
that's
just shows
like
you their journey.
All right,
it's like,
that's like an Imitation of Life twist.
Oh, no! I'm sorry. I said there was no white people, but there was no
right.
dark-skinned people. I'm sorry. No dark-skinned people. They were all light-skinned.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
and they didn't like the... Wait a minute. And they didn't like dark-skinned people.
Child?
Really? Yeah.
So you guys...
And right. And they didn't
wow.
like dark-skinned people. And they just... And y'all, you got to read this book because it's going to blow your mind.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
Now, see, I love
talking like this.
Right.
Yeah, and one of the sisters fell in love with this dark-skinned man.
Uh-oh.
So just think about you in a town that's all light-skinned, there's no dark-skinned people, and you fall in love with this dark-skinned guy.
Ooh, drama.
Yes.
Child.
It's so much drama, but the book is really good because it takes you through a roller coaster of emotions. Because
mm-hmm.
your heart goes out to them because you realize, like, they're really, there's something missing. And then the way they go about handling things, it lets you know that they're trying to escape something. But then it's emotional. It's really emotional. And then you get angry because they start acting a fool. And then one of them
wow.
wants to be white. And she's light enough to pass for white. So it's just a whole lot of stuff that happens, and it all has to do with
mm-hmm.
colorism. And it's just crazy. And you, when you think back on it, it's like, you know, a lot more people did this than what we realized. More people passed
oh,
for
yeah.
white than we realized. That, you know, it's not talked about a lot, but a lot of people who could pass for white because it was a better life for them. And so
right.
it just really shows how colorism played a big part in these people's lives and how important the color of your skin really was, even though you were black.
Wow, Leash,
wow.
that book has almost 50,000 ratings.
I can imagine.
Yep.
And now,
wow.
now we in
yes.
back into historic fiction. Have y'all read The Douglas Women?
No.
Mm-hmm.
By Jewel Parker Rhodes.
No, actually,
that whole book will have you giving Frederick Douglass the side eye. I'm just saying.
No, not Frederick Douglass.
Frederick Douglass, honey, you have to give him the side eye, both eyes, just like, mm-hmm. I mean, it's
Are you serious?
Yeah, but it shows us that, you know, different shapes of relationships, even in marriage, and why people
mm-hmm.
stay. So it says that the wife was dying. I don't know if she was really dying or if their relationship was dying. I don't know if that was like a metaphor, but the mistress, the other woman, sidekick, y'all, she was bold.
Okay.
She was bold.
So she was getting ready to take her place.
Yeah.
She
we
moved,
should be talking about the Douglas
yeah,
women, boy. She
he,
loves
he moved her into their home. So,
huh?
Yes, honey.
But you know,
Look
but listen,
now.
You know, But you know, in early, what century was that? That's what they did, though, when your wife was dying, when your spouse, that's what they did. They, and the wife would actually tell the mistress or whoever, whatever they called her, she would tell them things about their husband so they could get to know their husband and know how to please him and know how to take care of him for when she passed on.
That's those time days shenanigans.
But yeah, when I was reading it, I was curious because I don't know if she was actually dying or if their relationship was dying. You see what I'm saying? I think that, you know how you don't want to leave? I don't think that, because she his wife, his wife Anne, she actually is the one who, she was free. And she helped him become free. And she helped him to escape as a slave. So I think a lot of times when you get into relationships, there's an obligation there. You feel obligated to certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And
but
I think maybe
he felt obligated because she got him his freedom, so he owed her something.
Absolutely. And the lady, I want to say she might have been white.
Don't do it.
So they really had to. That was like, if you think about a poly relationship where, you know, it's more than one person in that relationship, you know, it talks to the fact of women sharing a man by not, you're knowledgeable about sharing this man. Most of the time, you're not knowledgeable and you're sharing them anyway. But how do you find solidarity in a relationship when you are in that capacity? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's deep. It's deep, y'all. It's deep. And I know maybe she put a little fiction in it, but it's deep. It's deep. Because I was like, oh, no, honey.
Yeah.
You know
her place? Right, like I'm not into sharing like that.
There's limits to that.
Yeah, it's like that song I'm having for the weekend. And you can have him Monday through Thursday.
Yeah.
And no, that's okay. I need him 7 days a week.
You gotta look at the calendar and see what day it is.
Right. We on a rotating schedule. No, thank you.
I'm with you, Connie.
Listen, I'm like, the book is a trip. Y'all got to check out those two books, Douglas Women and Silence of the Nine. I guarantee that you're going to read Silence of the Nine. I believe it's 7 books in that series. You're going to be like, what?
Oh, wow. Okay. Let me ask y'all this question. Did y'all read... there was another book that came out during the pandemic. What is it? Black Girl. Is it Black Girl Exhausted? It was. We actually interviewed this author.
What's her name?
Okay, hold on. If you hadn't asked me, I would remember.
Wait a minute. Is it Black Girls Must Die Exhausted?
Yes.
By Jane Allen. I just looked it up.
Yes.
Jane Allen. Thank you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Black Girls Must Die Exhausted. And we actually interviewed her. And then we also had her come. We had her on Zoom with our book club.
Nice.
This book, she wrote it. Like she said, it was... it wasn't a fiction novel, but some pieces of it were from her real life. But
really,
yes. But she said it just reminded her of how much Black women carry every day, how much we do, how much we're there, where everybody supports us, We're, you know, we're trying to help everybody. We're carrying the weight of the world on our shoulders.
We're and they tell us we're strong. You got to be a strong black woman.
Right.
And it's like, stop telling people I'm strong, please, because when people see that you are strong or that they feel you are strong, they just start piling things on top of you. And you only as strong as glass. Now, glass is glass. Glass will stand up, but if glass is hit too hard, it will shatter. So they tend to put us up there on this pedestal, like women, black women are so strong. They can endure everything. They can do this. They can do that. And it's like, nope, don't tell nobody I can do none of that stuff.
I'm just black.
Don't tell them I can do none of the above.
Exactly. And that's what she was saying. It was like, and it was so funny because as we started talking about the book with her, with the book club, like people in the book club started sharing things that we've been book club members for I don't know how many years with some of these ladies. And it was amazing how that book just opened up the door and opened up the floor and created an environment where people felt like they could share this because they were just exhausted and tired. And they just, everybody just like, they took a sigh of relief. Because it was like, it's finally, it's okay for me to say I'm tired, you know? It's okay for me to say I'm exhausted. It's okay for me to say I don't want to do this, you know?
Yeah.
That's right.
And that's the thing. And it's like, and nobody's going to look at me crazy because I told you, it's not that I can't do it, I just don't want to do it.
And it's so, like you have to get comfortable with saying no.
Exactly.
Right, because it's an expectation now. Now it's an expectation that we put up with a lot. We deal with a lot. We are, and I love that we are resilient. I love it. Yes, we are strong, but we are women. And so we kind of get the, we kind of get the backhand of that because now we're the angry black woman.
Right.
But we have to lead with our aggressiveness. Because we have all of these things that are on top of us. So now we have to be aggressive to get things done.
To get it done. Exactly. Exactly.
So true.
Yeah.
It's a mess. Even like, have you seen Claudine? Remember the movie Claudine? I was actually talking about this with someone the other day. And, you know, how they make us, how you think of, oh, I don't need a man, because during that time, it was, I can't help you if you have a man. So black women had no choice but to shoulder this job and shoulder these responsibilities in order to take care of their family. And then I think it just progressed over the years to, I really don't need a man. And you kind of don't. But this is the thing. Me and T were talking about this. It's the difference between a man being a security that's just investing in you and leading with his wallet, and a man that is investing in you for growth. There's two; those are two different types of situations. So if you think about a man that's just investing and leading with his wallet, well, I have my own wallet.
I have my own wallet. Right, exactly. And that's so true. I mean, like, I, as a single black woman, I can identify. I have a hard time dating for any extended period of time because
it's no growth.
Guys, there's no growth, but they feel like that the only way that they can contribute, like you said, is monetarily, and that's something I don't need. I need your emotional support. I need you to be. I need you to be a partner with me in this business. You know what I'm saying? I need you to.
Right.
I don't need. I got this financial part. I really got that covered. You know what I'm saying? It's like I'm good there. Don't get me wrong. It's if we blend our money together, we can do some more things. But if that's the only thing that you can provide, I don't need that. I need you to be able to have as much ambition as I need your ambition to match my ambition. I need your hustle to match my hustle. I'm up at night working on business plans for the next business that I'm about to start. I need your hustle to match that. You know, you bringing ideas to me, saying, "Okay, babe, what about this business? If we do A, B, C, and D, that's what I need. Help me with my come to me with your creative juices flowing because exactly, definitely pour into me. Don't just come to asking me, baby, what we gonna eat, or like what we gonna, I don't know, we gonna go hang out. No, you know what? My time where you talking about hanging out, I'm trying to think the next thing that I'm about to do. Like what business I'm about to create. I don't have children, but what's the next legacy I'm gonna leave, you know? So my mind frame is different, and I need somebody who can match that.
And right. I think it's understanding our verbiage. Understanding what it is that we want. Because you can say, oh, I need a man that's this. I just need a man. No, then you're going to get any kind of man. What kind of man do you need? Like, what do you need him to bring to you? You have to speak that through your lips. You just can't think that you're going to wake up one day and then there it is. Because there's no telling what you're getting.
Absolutely.
And if you're not clear on what you want, you're not going to get what you want. I need you to pour into me. Well, he got to know what it is and what it means to pour into you. What does that mean? Because a lot of times we are asking them for skills that they don't have. Like we ask them for so much. We ask them for things that some of them cannot give themselves, but we expect them to give it to us.
Bam. There it is. Yep.
There it is.
There it is.
That's a word.
There it is. That is a word.
That is a
I'm
word.
Serious. And that's so true, though. That is so true because if you think about it on the average, and I'm not, and please by no means listening audience, I am not putting men into all into one bag. I'm not doing that. However, what I am about to say is in my experience, in the men that I have met, what I have found is that I have outgrown them some years ago. And they just got stuck. It's like they were on a path, but somehow or another they got stuck in a position and they have not seen the need to have somebody pour into their life or so therefore they don't know how to pour into somebody else. Like they feel like where I am is good enough. So there's no need for me to move any further than where I am. So they're happy where they are. They got a good job, so they think I've made it. But, like, don't you want something more than just a good job? And so when you start talking about more and about elevating and about leaving legacies and about making sure that when I die, nobody has to worry about anything because I got all my ducks in a row. Real here. I mean, I'm not talking about surface stuff. I'm talking about some deep stuff. Like, we don't want to deal with it.
That's right.
But, like, do you have life insurance? Do you have a will? When you die, is there going to be an executor of your estate? Do you have a power attorney in place? All this stuff that we need to handle along with living every day. Like, do you do it? They're looking about, well, I got my life insurance with my company. No, because if you lose that job,
you
don't have that
lose
life
that job,
anymore.
Honey. You don't have no life insurance
That's
if your job is gone. And then people have a feeling of not wanting to put insurance on their children. And I always talk about the $1 million baby.
I don't understand that.
You can provide financial security to your children and their children.
Yes.
This
is what white people have been doing all their
life. And all their life.
I was going to say, I'm thankful because my mom made my siblings and I take out a policy on her. She did not take out a policy on us because she just messed over her money and she was honest with us. Like, I should have taken out a policy on y'all when y'all was kids. She didn't. But what she turned around and did, when we became adults, she made us take out a policy on her. And she said, this has nothing to do with the policy that I have on myself. She said, she has her own life. She has a couple of life insurance policies. But she turned around, and what we did, we set up a policy where that even if my mom, God forbid, I don't want my mom to pass, but, you know, we all going to die. But even if she doesn't pass, we've had this policy, and it's a policy that that accrues interest. We'll be able to take that interest from that policy and live on it.
That's right.
And she had us to get it when she was younger enough. That it right now it has some nice interest and some nice growth on it. But people
don't
think about that. And it's like you said, the million-dollar baby. If you get your child an insurance policy when they're first born, and get the right one, not just go get out some term life insurance, but I mean, you really do your homework and get the right insurance policy. When that child, that insurance policy can not only put that child through college, but then they have that policy to get that child started in their life and have a nice foundation where they don't start out in debt like we did. You know,
absolutely.
People think like that. Today we think about what kind of car can we drive, how big of a house we can get. And don't get me wrong, those things, there's nothing wrong with those things. But if that's all you have, that's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because
that's right.
Like, unless you're putting so much money down your house, you're not gonna have instant equity out that home. And as soon as you drive off the lot, your car's lost its value. So it's like, come
that's right.
on, like, we
that's
absolutely,
right.
that's absolutely. And it's funny. Listen, y'all, I'm about to just tell y'all about this term life. Term life is use it or lose it. So if you're not planning to die in 30 years, just know if it's not convertible and if it's not converted in a certain amount of time, it's use it or lose it. So you will invest in something that you end up not having if you end up not dying.
And that 30 years, and if you haven't passed in that 30 year, well, that 31st year, you can't afford the policy. Because the price done. I not even quadruple. It done did something. I don't even know what it is. You've been paying a certain premium all these years, but at year 31, it goes up so much.
It's going to go up.
The policy. Mm-hmm. Right.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, ladies, I think what we want to just help people to understand is, and we talked about this earlier in the show, we talked about making sure those people that you connect with are assets. And you have to ask yourself, is that person an asset or is that person a liability? Then you have to ask yourself, am I an asset or am I a liability? Because anybody
that
comes into your life, anybody that comes into your space and vice versa, there has to be growth there. You have to be able to be able to be a better person than who you were when you met them. And a lot of times we were talking about life insurance and families. A lot of times as mothers, we love our kids so much, but we don't want to think about in death. And when you think about death, you have to think about what impact you want your death to have on your family. Because there's what you want to happen, and then there's what's actually going to happen. And you have to stop forcing our kids to hustle to bury us.
Say that again.
We got to stop forcing our kids to hustle to bury us.
I'm telling you. And people, and I know people think I'm obsessed with how I die, when I die, and I'm not obsessed with it, but I think just having gone through so many family funerals where you just couldn't grieve in peace because you were trying to worry about so much other stuff. I don't want that to be. And so I make myself deal with it because don't get me wrong, it's a lot to think about your death. It's a lot to think about what you want people to do when you're no longer here. That's emotionally, it is a lot. I'm not making little or light of that. But you have to do it in order to make sure, because I want people to be able to remember me without feeling some kind of way because now they got to take up an offering to bury me. I want people to remember me and be able to grieve easily, knowing that all I needed to do was go to this Google Drive and everything I needed was in there to make sure she was put away the way that she wanted to be or whatever the case may be. I don't want people to struggle in my death. You know what I'm saying? I want people to celebrate. And I'm doing my best right now while I'm alive to make sure that when I die, there can be a celebration, a true celebration, in the true sense of the word. And it takes work, though. It takes work. It takes you putting aside your emotions about it. It takes you not being selfish because it's really a selfless act to think about people once you're gone. It's like, okay, I don't want them struggling. I don't want them to have to. It's just, yeah, it's, yeah.
It's a lot.
True.
It's a lot.
And that's why when we are dating, we have to be intentional. And we're not saying marry everybody you date. Everybody you date is not meant to be your husband. I'm sorry. That is not their purpose.
Right.
But what I mean by being intentional, making sure that you're seeing, first of all, every shade of that person, every side of that person.
Right.
How do he act when he down? How do he act when he up? How do he act when he broke? How do he act when he's upset? You need to see all of those shades. Because then you have to be able to know what it is. And I don't think we take enough time. And we don't, first of all, we don't court anymore. You know, there's no courting period where you learn somebody. It's like, okay, we're going to get together because now we got chemistry. Well, hell, you can have chemistry with 50 other different people. But you have to ask him questions. And you have to have your go-to question. If you feel like you've been dating that person a while, then you have that one go-to person that helps you, that one go-to question that helps you decide if that person is going to be able to go forth. My go-to question is, because we have that work, retire, die mentality. I call that a slave mentality. It's nothing wrong with working for somebody else. As long as in making them money, you're knowing how to make yourself money so that you're not working for them forever. Now, I always say, what do you see for your life? Like, what do you see? What do you want for your life? A lot of times when you ask people, what do you see? Well, I never really thought about it. Okay, well, then we can't go nowhere. One, you have no ambition.
Right.
One, you have no vision. And a visionary needs a visionary. That's not going to work. And we have to start paying attention when we're picking these. I was going to say jokers. I'm not going to say jokers. Don't send me no emails because I will reply. But we got to start being just intentional, not just saying I'm going to marry him, but just intentional about the people that you're bringing in your space.
Yes. I agree.
Absolutely. Oh, and a lot of us don't take the time out to go through that.
Absolutely.
Right,
and then we
want to
put it off on somebody else. Like, you're requiring somebody else to do the things that you need to do. Like, I need somebody that's going to make me happy. If you say that word to me, then there's nothing we can do. Why? Because can't nobody make you happy but you.
Can't nobody. You have to be happy on your own. You have to find what makes you happy yourself, because if you don't, then that means I can control you. And I don't want to control you. You need to be in control. You need to be in control of your own emotions. You need to be in control of your own happiness. And then together we can be happier. But if I don't know what makes me happy, I'm making sure you're not going to know either.
Exactly.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we so appreciate you guys coming to kick it with us here in the chat room. Now, we always do something a little fun. So Tia's going to ask you a fun question.
Okay.
Absolutely. Tony, this has been such an amazing night. Please come back and visit Leisha and I again. This is your home, girl. Anytime you want to just kick it, because we could do this. We could do this anytime. We could just make it happen.
I appreciate it. I would definitely. It has been.
We're gonna have to have at least 10 book club members on. I have a whole online book club session and just chop it up.
That would be awesome. But, all the personalities would have y'all laughing.
That would be amazing. That would be amazing. But Tony, you are having a after COVID dinner, and you can invite four other authors along with your book club. Who would they be and why?
Four other authors. Okay, so don't laugh at me. I don't care what nobody says. Danielle Steele is my favorite author. She has always been my favorite author.
Yes, I love her.
Danielle Steele is the one that got me traveling, because I read her books and I'm like, I got to go here, I got to go there. So Danielle Steele would definitely be at the table. Let's see, who else would I think I would go with Terry McMillan. I love her. And then let's see. I think I'm gonna have to say, just because I have just read a couple of her books and I'm like, I need to pick her brain, I'm gonna go with Lisa Jewell. Because I need to know what's working in that mind of hers.
One more Arthur. And just because I want to, I always like supporting the locals and making sure that they get to sit at the table. I'm going to send one of our local artists in Dallas, which is Brian mm-hmm. W. Smith.
Oh, yeah.
So I would invite him. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice.
So those are the four. And the reason I would invite those, again, because Danielle still is my favorite artist. She's just my favorite, has always been. Terry McMillan, just because I do love her writing, and I like her more recent writings, because to me they seem like they're just so mature, and I feel like she's imparting more wisdom in her later writings. And maybe it could be just because I can relate to them because I'm getting older. And then Lisa Jewell, because again, I just want to get in her mind, like, how did she come up with some of these books that she's written and the twists and plots that are in those. And then again, Brian W. Smith, just because he's a local here to Dallas. As a book club, we've always supported him. He writes really well. He has some great novels, and we just want him to be at the table.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
I used to wait for Daniel Stone's new book to drop. Oh my goodness, girl, you just brought back the reader memories.
Honey, I can't keep up, because I feel like Daniel still releases a book every month.
Oh my goodness.
And it's like,
that was
and people know, like, but my friends know, they can buy me a Daniel Stone book for any occasion, and I'm just always happy. I have a friend. It doesn't matter. Like we took a road trip in November. And when I came back to my room, she had a bag on the bed, and it had a Danielle Sills related book. She knows it doesn't matter. And what did I do on that trip? I was curled up in the bed reading Danielle Sills. I just love Danielle Sills. I can read to her anytime. It doesn't matter.
At 73, I know she looks back on her literary career like, wow. Like,
right?
I know
life
I have had.
Yes, and she was on Good Morning America the other week and was talking about her new release, and I was like, this woman, she's still at it. She says that, and she still uses a manual typewriter.
Wow. Old school.
Yeah.
Old school. I love it. Well, you guys are welcome here on Let's Chat anytime. Like T said, just let us know, and we will come on here and talk that talk, child. Whatever's on y'all's spirit, we will talk about it.
Thank you guys so much. Thank you guys for the platform that you're providing for authors, and just for allowing us to come on and share what we do for authors as well. I really appreciate it.
You are so very welcome.
Enjoy your weekend.
All right, you guys as well. Thank you again. Bye.
Bye-bye. That was awesome, Lee.
That was fun.
You know,
now, this is what happens when readers get together, authors. We always talk about this. Listen, y'all want to know
goodness.
What readers do when they get together? This right here is what they do when they get together.
Yes. That's right. And that's how books develop legs. You know, we always talk about that, Lee. You know, when you talk about it. Now, she gave us some awesome books, and I wrote them down. But that's what we do as readers. And we show our appreciation for these authors. You know, there's so much work that goes into putting a book in our hands. And when you see that appreciation, when you feel, I mean, I felt it throughout this whole interview that we just love the word. And that's so important to authors, you know. And this platform allows us to spread that love and that word. So I so enjoy what we do, as well as what Tony and her sisters are doing as far as just spreading the word of the word.
Absolutely. I mean, and that's the thing. That's why I say book clubs are the heartbeat of the industry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we did our African-American literary show where we had the authors and publishers on, and we wanted to talk about how can we get our literary, African-American literary industry back to its renaissance. And we got a lot of conversation with that. Make sure y'all head over to check our YouTube page. Check out that interview that we did. It was awesome. And it was really, back in the day, publishers connected with the book clubs. Well, they don't connect with book clubs anymore. Like, how can we get that connection back going? We have fabulous book clubs. We got 556 Book Chicks. Shout out to Book Chicks. You know, we have tons of book clubs. Now, how do we get them connected? Mm-hmm. I remember I did a post, and it was to book clubs. And a lot of book clubs in certain areas did not know how to connect with the authors in their area. So it's very important, authors, that you are connecting with the book clubs in your area, all of them. Connect with them. Mix and mingle. Right. You are on a campaign trail. Mix and mingle.
That's right. That's right. And the payoff will be on both sides, you know. It's so important. But we had a great show, Leach. I really enjoyed this show because we were all like-minded and we all love the word.
Absolutely. Well, we will see you guys on next week. We appreciate you guys coming to kick it with us here in the chat room once a day. We will be back for Let's Chat Live on next Thursday. So I'm excited about that. I'm still trying to get my birthday show together. But next Thursday, we're going to have two fabulous guests, and one of the guests is going to be a children's author. And so I'm excited to have them in the chat room on tomorrow because she is a child that is an author. And I love to see children that are writing in those genres for their own their own fan base, their own people that can relate to them and the things that they talk about and the things that they're going through. There's nothing wrong with an adult writing a children's book, but when you have a child being able to be in their creativity like that, we have to embrace them and love on them.
That's right. That's right. So we're looking forward to that show. We hope you guys are as well. And thanks for rocking with us tonight, this Friday evening. You guys have a great weekend and continue to stay safe.
Busting my tail on a 9-to-5 just to keep up, try to stay alive. Promise my lady we gon' be alright. She be crying while she praying for a better life. Hustling on the side for a bag of rice. Gotta feed the fam, gotta pay the price. Gotta keep trucking through the Georgia clay. Gotta stay searching for a better day. Gotta keep my faith till make a way. Gotta get extended so the gas can pay. Sweet Georgia, hold me down. Keep my feet planted on solid ground. From the New York coast to the Florida shine, up to the Maryland, D.C. line, back down south, red peaches prime. Sweet Georgia, where I reside. Tell me why do I have to cry out? Tell me why should I even pray? Tell me why should I worry about it? Tell me why should I lose my head? Tell me why do I have to cry out? Tell me why should I even pray? Tell me why would I think about trying to die when I could just take it to the Lord in prayer? Sweet Georgia, 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 dreaming of a day. I've been fishing for a purpose just to hear you say, well done, son, not a bright face. On my shoulders weight from the burdens laid, darkest roots from mistakes I made. Sweet Georgia, hold me down. Keep my feet planted on solid ground. Tell me why do I have to cry out? Strange roots, my roots run deep in his Georgia clay.